Hi, I'm Mark Hummel. I hope you're enjoying the Harmonica Party and the other content that we post on our channel. Check out our Patreon page and join us for exclusive content, early releases of episodes, and some rewards specifically for our Patreon friends. Thanks for helping us keep the blues alive. Hi, this is Mark Hummel, and this is Mark Hummel's Harmonica Party, and I'm sitting in Florida at my hotel room, and I have a special guest, John Primer from Chicago, that I've had on some of my blowouts, and he is really riding high these days.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I want to congratulate you on all your success, man.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
And John's somebody that's been around Chicago a long, long time. I remember him when he first started making records with, you know, people like Cotton and Magic Slim and all the different folks that you work with.
Oh, yeah, work with you.
Definitely paid your dues. And Muddy.
Pinetop, Muddy.
Right.
Willisville.
Right.
Oh, man, everybody, you know.
I think the first time I saw you play was with Muddy in about 1980.
When I started, 1980.
Yep. 1980. And it was you and Lovey Lee.
Ray Allison
on drums and Mojo on harp.
Yep, Mojo Beautiful on harp.
Right, I don't remember who the bass player was.
Ernest Johnson.
Ernest Johnson, right, the player with Otis Rush.
Yeah, played with Otis Rush.
Right.
Magic Slam, yeah.
Right, okay.
I think he played on that CD. Oh, yeah, I think he played that.
Oh, did he really?
Bass on that.
Wow.
I think he told me he was playing that bass.
Too much, man.
Yeah.
So you were born in you said Camden?
Camden, Mississippi.
Camden, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that's near Canton, Mississippi.
Yeah, just before you get to Canton, 25 miles from Canton, Mississippi.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you moved from there when you were 18?
18 years old.
Right. Now, did you go by yourself or was your family?
No.
Your family moved?
When I grew up down in Mississippi, you know, I lost my dad, my mom and my dad met each other. My mom was 13 years old, my dad was 15.
Wow.
And when they got married.
Yeah.
And then, so when my mom got 15 years old, I was born.
Wow. So, that's young parents.
Yeah, so when I got about 3 going on 4, it was like December 18, somewhere like that, my dad was trying to go out and make some money, I guess, with these other guys, two other guys they knew. Mm-hmm. And they went down to Canton, Mississippi there.
Right.
And they had a place that most all the people would hang out. Majority of the people would hang out in this place called Up in the Holler.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the black people hang out up in there.
Right.
You know, but all the white people, they own the clubs and things.
Right.
A lot of clubs and movies and things. But that's where all the black people would go and hang out up in there.
Right.
Up in the Holler there. So we went down there that day, took a load of logs down to the sawmill, and they decided to hang out up there. So my dad, he was 19 years old, almost 18, going to 19, and he I don't think he was drinking because he told the dad and the son, said, "Hey, Mr. Jackson, y'all been drinking, y'all drunk, so you should let me drive home."
Mm-hmm.
And the dad said, "Oh, boy," my mom was talking about it, "Oh, boy, get out of here, we ain't drunk."
Right.
And they went about 6 or 7 miles down the highway coming back to Camden. And the dad was driving, he pulled out on a truck. A stop sign, the truck hit him and hit that log truck and turned him over.
Wow.
And threw one of them out. But those two guys, they didn't get hurt at all.
Yeah.
There's one guy on the back, I think, was on
but
the back.
But your dad got killed?
My dad got turned over and he was trapped up under that truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because he was all right, because they said they kept asking, was he okay? And he said, yeah. I'm okay, and all of a sudden he just starts coughing and strangling to death. And
wow.
they said a gas tank leaked in his face, strangling to death.
And what happened?
Gas.
Yeah.
He was trapped under, he couldn't move, so the gas leaked in his face and it killed him, strangling because he started.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How horrible.
So when I was young, I remember his feeling and everything. I was 18, I was 3 going on 4.
Yeah.
So he had to be 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
He lost
wow.
his life, man. I think it was 1948, I believe it was.
Yeah. Well, that's tragic.
So I grew up without a dad. I was raised by my grandmother and all my aunties. And
right.
So at that time, after he got passed, I got a sister. She's still living. And so we was getting it with that, you know, like when you get a check from your dad or someone when he passed.
Right, right.
So we was getting that check.
Inheritance.
Yeah, every month.
Right.
My sister and I. Mm-hmm. We were $79 a month.
Right.
So what happened, my mom, she going out, she'd be in town all the time, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden she, her cousin came to Chicago, and so she left and came to Chicago. Mm-hmm. But I remember when she left, because I was crying, I was like, I don't know what, man.
Yeah.
And she said, don't worry, don't cry, you got to stay here, you know, and go to school, and but when you get 18 years, I'll come back and get you. So that's happened, man. She came back and got us, yeah.
Wow.
Me and my sister, she wasn't, I was 18, but she's 2 years younger than me.
Your sister?
Yeah, but she came too. But
wow.
So I didn't know why, man. I was sad all my life, man. Yeah. Because I missed my mom and dad. I knew my dad at that age.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
at three. Yeah.
So, but I was kind of sad because every time my mom would come home, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But when she leave and come back to Chicago, I'd be crying. And my grandmother would always say, well, come on, stop crying, because they down they bought any champagne or the noise. She would always say that.
Hmm.
And when she said that, I'll stop crying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I got grown, then I asked her why, but she came back and got us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, but when I got grown and everything, I was gonna ask her why she leave us. She said, told me the reason why she left us there. My grandmother had about 11 kids, 10, what were 10 at home, 9 or 10 of them at home. So the reason why I left you there, because that check you and your sister getting $79 a month back then, that would help to feed the family.
Right.
Feed my grandma, and that's why.
Right, you know. So that's why she left you there.
Yeah, that's why we left you there. She said, wow. Yeah, but you know.
So you had all, now you said the 11 other kids were?
My grandmother,
your grandmother's kids.
Yeah, 11 kids in all.
Right, wow.
But my mom had left. I think my dad was still, my uncle was still there, but my other auntie, she had got married.
Uh-huh.
So the rest of them was in that house, man.
Yeah.
And I was raised in that two rooms and kitchen.
Wow, that is a
one
small
bedroom
house.
And a living room and a kitchen. Yeah.
So everybody slept in
all
two rooms, yeah.
Everywhere.
Five door room, basically.
Yeah. So that was the reason why, you know, I got to Chicago.
Yeah, because you can make more money.
I ain't never going back to Mississippi State.
Right.
Right. Said, never going back there.
Yeah, you go back occasionally.
Go,
right?
I, when I got 12 years old, I tried to go to cotton field, pick cotton. I couldn't do it. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But.
Really hard work.
But I. Oops. Yeah. So, you know, I loved it. My thing was the picking the cotton and pulling that corn by hand. I had to do a little bit of that because my other uncle, my mother's brother, he was next oldest brother.
Right.
But my older brother, my uncle had moved with his wife. And mm-hmm. But me and him had to go to the field to do that, his job.
Wow.
So we had to do that. And I was young, maybe 14
right.
years old, yeah. So I didn't like doing the cotton stuff, but I love to ply the mule.
Did you?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I lived and did that. I always did that. I was glad.
Right.
But when she came and got me, man, I was so happy.
You were ready to go. Yeah.
Man, I was happy.
What did you think of Chicago when you first
got here? When I got here, man, tall, beautiful.
Yeah, I must have been a shock.
Yeah, because close I was to Jackson. You know, I haven't never been to Jackson.
Never been there, yeah. Wow.
You know, I can't miss it with Jackson. They got, right. Kansas, Mississippi got them the town, how right. cowboy houses.
Right.
And stone. But right. Jackson had kind of tall buildings.
Yeah.
But I didn't know when I got to Chicago, what the?
Yeah. Skyscrapers.
And I'm wondering now, all these blues guys I heard down in Mississippi when I was a kid growing up, my grandmother had playing blue, Muddy Waters, Lightning Hawkins, Big Boy Cooler. I mean, you know, back in the 40s.
So she'd be playing now.
Yeah, on the record, 7-8 records. Yeah.
Record player,
I started out with 7-8.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And she was playing there, all this stuff. And to me, I thought all these guys and passed away.
Right. You didn't know they were there. Yeah.
When I got to Chicago, that's where they were, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
That's where they was at, man.
Yeah. So do you remember what year it was that you first saw Muddy play?
No, I didn't see Mudder play until I got in his band.
Until you got in his band.
I just see him on Chicago Blues Fest.
Right.
But I didn't see him, but I'll be somewhere and he'd come through there with Willis Smith and him. I don't know what he'd be
right.
with him.
Right.
But I never had met him.
Huh. No, what a trip.
Never had met Muddy. Yeah. But I dreamed that I played in his band.
Well, yeah.
In Mississippi.
Hell yeah.
14 years ago, I dreamed I played in Muddy's band. And it came true.
Now, were you playing guitar when you were in Mississippi?
Yeah, that's what I learned, man.
And were you the one that was saying you learned on a string?
A
diddly bow, right.
Upside, my uncle and them had built one upside the house.
Right.
And they were playing, and after they go to the cotton field or something, and I'm little, I'd be playing that thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, did that have a slide on it?
No. Nope.
Or was it just...
It's just one piece of wire with two bricks on it.
One piece of wire, and then you hold it down.
Yeah, make it tight.
Right.
And then get
right.
that sound.
Yeah.
You know, you just hit it with your finger and get a flavor ball or something.
It's amazing how many guys started like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It was singing.
When they were kids. Did you sing right away?
All the way. Ever since I've been old enough to say, I've been singing
all
the
time. Yeah, you sound like it.
And my mom said, I was born by midwives. And my mom said, you know, like all the babies, they always, when the midwives slap them on the behind, so they cry, but say you was humming like you was singing.
Wow.
That's what she said. I was humming like I was singing.
Wow.
I didn't just cry.
Wow.
I was humming.
That's something, man.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
So
did you ever play in any bands in Mississippi or not?
No.
Chicago?
No.
Okay.
Not till Chicago.
Yeah.
And my first band I played in was a band called The Maintainers. Yeah, we created that band.
And that was in Chicago?
In Chicago.
Okay.
The Maintainers.
Now, what was your first guitar, do you remember?
It was a Silvertone.
And was that in Mississippi or in Chicago?
Yeah, in Chicago.
Okay.
See, I didn't have a guitar, but I had a cousin.
Right.
Lived about 3 or 4 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they dad, he played, the Primus played guitar back then.
Oh, okay.
So he had one. Every time he'd go to town or something, because I don't remember him working in the cotton field. He was driving the truck to bring ice around to people.
Right.
And I would go down and play with my two cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the oldest one, could play a little guitar. And so we...
So he'd let you play his guitar?
We sneak and play it. So I learned how to own that guitar.
Right.
And then I just kept playing it, you know. And so by the time I come to Chicago, I didn't have none, but I had to learn how to play. I knew how to play.
Yeah.
I could play. I played a little bit, you know, the guitar in the church with my cousin.
Okay.
So I could play there. And so when I got to Chicago, I got a little job, and I was working. I went up on Celia and Madison, which used to be a club called Celia Club on Madison, but it was a pawn shop there.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a guitar and it's only $7.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that guitar there looks like the guitars I'd be looking at in the magazine.
Right.
Seals and Alden.
Oh. The
magazine would come down there and money had guitars in it. Because that's when I was a little bitty kid, I always just stare at the guitars all the time.
Right.
Just get the book and just look, watch. Just,
interesting. Yeah. You really had a thing for it.
So I ordered.
Yeah.
I had my cousin. Order one from the book.
Yeah.
And it was $7 and it came to the post office. And so my mom, she went in Chicago then. She had left and went to town somewhere. Uh-huh. Canton. She didn't come back for a while.
Right.
And they sent it back. I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
That was a heartbreaking story.
That is heartbreaking. Yeah. Now, was it you and your sister living together?
With my mom, my grandma.
Your mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
We all, most of the time, my dad got killed.
You said you were 3 when he got killed.
Yeah, so my mom was, you know, always there. A lot of times she would be down to my auntie and them house down in Canada or somewhere.
Right.
She wasn't a cotton picker.
Right.
She, in Camden, she was the one that cooked all the hamburgers and the little groceries. And
oh, things. Really? Okay.
Yes, she always. Because I remember that. And I'd be going to school, and every day she'd send her cousin out with me a hamburger. But lunch.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
My mother's too cool to help me eat it up.
That comes in handy, man.
So she's the hamburger lady then.
Yeah.
Everybody loves my mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And how long, when did she pass?
2010.
Okay, so she lived a long life.
Yeah. She I think she was 80 years old.
80 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is your sister still alive?
Yeah. She's okay. West Side of Chicago, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just saw her a couple of days.
Now, when you first moved there, were you living on the south side?
West Side.
West Side,
yeah.
Okay.
I lived on the west side all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And later on, after I had a little, and then I moved to the south side.
So who were the first musicians you met when you moved to Chicago?
We used to play out, man, and it was Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I lived on 11th and Jackson, right by Crane High School there. That's where I came, 312 South 11. And that's where my mom was living at. And my stepfather, that's who came down. So I slipped what I was saying. Wait, what was the question?
Well, who are the first musicians?
Oh, yeah. Now I got you. So like every Sunday morning, I would hear this music playing down the street in the backyard. It was Sunday morning. So I would go down there. And guess who it was?
Who?
Luther Allison.
Really? And he was playing blues on a
in
Sunday?
In the backyard.
Really?
Every Sunday he would come there as cousin.
What a trip, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Him and Little Al, I think, Al Thompson.
Huh,
yeah.
Okay.
Man, that's the first band I see.
Wow.
Luther Allison, yeah.
Did you get to know him?
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice cat.
He was a nice cat.
He was a really nice cat. I met him in Paris one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first band I saw playing live. I did one time as the band came down to Mississippi, Canton, but not in Canton, but down almost in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a club called the Ebony Club. And the band came in and played, and they were playing Walking the Dog.
Okay. You know who it was?
I don't know who it was.
You don't know who it was?
Sounded like we were talking, but it could have been somebody else. But I saw that, but I didn't really understand why I couldn't get in to go in there. You know?
Right, right.
Probably could have, but we just peeked and left. But Luther Allison was the first band I seen in Chicago play.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But my stepfather told me all of Muddy Waters, because he playing, talking about Muddy Waters and all them, they all playing, they're alive.
Yeah.
And he had all
so
of them.
So you had no idea?
No idea.
You thought they were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's old music. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I was surprised, man.
So besides Luther, who did you see early on? Do you remember?
In Chicago.
Did you ever see Freddie King back then? Or?
I saw Freddie King one time,
uh-huh.
Playing at the Tom Musician Club on Washington Hall, Roosevelt.
Okay.
I saw him there one time. I think that was Freddie King.
Yeah.
I believe it was him.
Yeah.
I really didn't know I was green on it.
Yeah.
It was up to a sneak, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I saw him play, and then from then on, I just saw most everybody, you know.
Yeah. You did see Otis early on.
Otis Rush, all of them, yeah.
Magic Sam,
all of them got, man. That man, to me, Magic Sam was the best of all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Singing Sam.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that from a lot of people, yeah.
Man, he
great
awesome.
Singer.
And played the guitar.
And played the hell out of the guitar.
Yeah, he was awesome, man.
Yeah.
They all was good, but they were better than me, but I'm lucky.
Right.
I love it.
Now, how did you meet Magic Slim?
Okay, that's another story. I met Magic Slim down. I didn't meet Magic Slim. I didn't know him, but it was a drummer that played with him called Nate Applewhite.
Right. And he also played with Buddy and Junior, I think. Didn't he? Nate Applewhite, I thought.
His Harmon Applewhite played with his brother.
You're right. I'm thinking of his brother.
Nate Applewhite, he was playing at Teresa's Two House, drummer at Teresa's a lot when he was with Slim.
Yeah.
So when I got the job down there in 1974, I believe, he was the house drummer, and Ernest Johnson, the bass player.
Right. He used to play with those.
They was all on Sammy Longhorn.
Right.
Muddy Waters, Junior, all them guys.
Right.
Fooey, Superstar, Louis Miles, Dave Miles,
right.
Mike Smith.
Right.
And they all hung out down there.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Dawkins come down there.
Right.
Hound Dog Taylor came one time or something him come down there.
Yeah.
All them other
Johnny
guys.
Little John.
Johnny Little John, they all came down to Teresa.
Right.
Hung out there. Yeah. Even Muddy Water came down there one time, but I wasn't there.
That's you weren't there.
Right. After he had that wreck.
Oh, right, right, right. So that was came, like 69 yeah. or something.
So yeah. he came down to Reason.
Right.
So in the hood, he heard Buddy Guy was house band there too, but with Junior. Right. And he saw Buddy playing. He said,
did you see Earl Hooker?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. So B.B. King asked, Teresa was the owner of the lounge and said, who's that young man playing that guitar back there? She said, oh, this Buddy Guy. She said, wow, he said, B.B. King said, he can play. That guy can play, but he sound like me. But you tell him, don't try to sound like me.
And that was Earl he was talking about?
He was talking about Buddy Guy.
Oh, he's talking about Buddy, okay.
Tell yeah. him, you know, don't try to be me, you know.
Right.
Play, learn what I play.
Right, right.
But he can't be me.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, Buddy, you know, Buddy, back well, then.
Buddy was something play. Else. Man. Yeah. He could play pretty much anything.
So, man, I hung out with the best down there. They all come down. Johnny Winters, all of them come down there.
Yeah. Johnny Winter lived in Chicago for a while.
For a while. Which one of them got
down? Mid-60s.
One of the Broomfield boys came down there.
Oh, right. Mike Bloomfield, yeah. Yeah. yeah.
One of them was alive, yeah. Yeah, I'll come down to me.
Elvin, probably.
Yeah.
I know Elvin Bishop was one of Sammy's.
He
was one of Sammy's students as well.
I know.
Yeah. yeah. He was one of Sammy's
He came students. Down there. I met him right. all, man. They all come right. down there.
Yeah. I think that's when he moved, is the same year you did.
Probably did.
I think he moved there in 63.
Yeah. They yeah. all come down there, man.
Yeah.
Man, them guys, they come down there and be jamming and talking jive and drinking right. and drunk and when they come through the door they all come down there to get salmon.
Right, right, right.
When they come through the door they go when they do this they right. may come to cut your head.
Right, right. Philip right. Brewer. Was there a lot of that? I yeah. mean, you know, like head cutting.
Salmon, yeah, Philip Brewer, all of them, especially Philip Brewer come down right, there. He come right. down there to get salmon, man.
Would he? Yeah. Sammy was a bad man.
Yes, man.
He was a he really great guitar player.
Man. And he once told me, he said, hey, I want you to learn what I play, but you can't be me now.
Right.
No, you can't be me, learn what I play.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be around forever to play this.
Yeah. Is it true he got thrown out a window?
Yeah.
Or he jumped out a window, I think?
He got jumped out the window.
He jumped out of the window because they were talking about killing him.
Yeah, well, see what happened.
I heard he got broken into or something.
No, see what happened? No. See, Sammy was, he was a woman chaser. He, man, he chased women's, man.
Oh, okay.
And he was up on the second floor with Pee Wee Madison, where Pee Wee Madison lived. He
right.
was on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
A woman lived on the second floor, but she had a husband.
Right.
So Sammy acted the fool and went up there in there. And so, the guy came and caught Sammy up there with his wife.
Oh, man.
And so when he came in there, he told Sammy he got a choice. Either come through the door and get shot, or either jump out the window.
And that's what he did.
He jumped out the window.
And I heard he broke both his legs.
Both his legs. He had a cast on all the way up here.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so he had a choice.
Man,
come this
what
way
a,
or go.
I guess that's a choice most of us would make, huh?
Yeah, man. Sammy jumped out of the window. Boom.
Now, did he have to take time off with Muddy at that point?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was off for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is he the one that got you the gig with Muddy? Sammy?
No. Nate Applewhite.
Nate Applewhite.
No. When I played with Willie Dixon in 1979.
Oh, okay. All right.
Willie Dixon used to come down to a reason.
Right.
Watch me play. I'm singing all these Howlin' the Wolf and Muddy Water and stuff.
Right.
But
right.
I didn't know that he.
You didn't know he was a writer.
At the time, he used to write all them
wow.
songs. Wow. So when I asked Sammy who he was, and Sammy told me who he was. And
yeah.
Willie Dixon, he wanted to have them songs. And I'd be saying, he'd be rocking and I'm singing and Howlin' the Wolf and all that stuff. He,
right.
So in 1979, when Mighty Joe Young, I believe, used to play with it with the Dixon.
Right.
When he quit or something, mm-hmm. and so Willie needed a guitar player.
So now who was blowing harp with him then? Was that Billy Branch or was it
when Snooki? I got in the band was could have been Snooki or somebody like
Snooki Pryor?
Yeah, probably yeah. was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I you know so he came down there, man, and how I got with Magic Slim, you say?
Right.
Yeah, Magic Slim was Nate Applewhite, and then he came, Matt Slim Brother got me with him. And right. Joe Buford got me.
When Willie the Hook, gig with Muddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muddy okay. sent him down there to get me.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I got the gig.
Willie Smith? No. Or Willie Dixon?
No. Mojo Buford sent me down there.
Right, right.
Came down there to get me.
To get you to play with Muddy.
Muddy sent right. Mojo down there.
Okay,
me
I see.
Brother, I need a guitar player.
Right.
You want to be interested in playing? He liked the way you play.
So did you get Rich Kirsch in there?
Huh?
Was that
Rick
you?
Rick Crayer?
I mean, Rick Crayer, I mean?
Yeah, well, Rick Crayer and, was playing like with Studebaker John.
Oh, okay.
And Mojo, sometime Mojo too, they were good friends.
They were good friends, so, okay.
So when we started out, that's how we got, Rick got in the band.
Right.
We started out playing with Muddy. So Muddy needed another guitar player with me.
Right.
So Jimmy Rogers played with us until.
That's what someone told me, is that Jimmy almost played in that band at that point.
He played, yeah. He, we went all to Texas and told yeah. him it was.
And then all of a sudden one day he didn't show up or something?
No.
Or what happened?
That night. Because we looked, me and Rick drive the front truck and Mojo in the back,
right
in the back truck. And so we could see Jimmy Rogers just talking. He looked
right.
big talking. He had an old yeah. fifth or some kind of whiskey.
Right.
And he drank the whole fifth all the way there. And so that night we played in Antone. We playing him and he almost fell off the stage almost.
Yikes.
And Woody looked around him and laughed.
And at that point, Muddy was just done.
He was done with
yeah,
him. So,
yeah.
so Rick, he told, Mojo told Muddy, said he got a guitar playing for him. It was Rick Crayer.
Wow.
And Rick was the driver.
So how did Jimmy sound on some of that stuff? Did he sound good on some
of
that?
Oh, yeah, he was playing the lead. I was yeah. playing the rhythm.
Yeah. he was great with Muddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was playing the rhythm, but he got drunk.
Yeah, wow.
And the little stage, yeah. wouldn't, it wouldn't.
I remember hearing that, yeah, that he had almost rejoined him and then
yeah.
lost the gig.
He lost the gig. Yeah, he got drunk.
So how long were you with Muddy? Was it 2 years?
Two and a half
years.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
two and a half years. Yeah. And then he got sick.
He got sick. Man.
Right.
He went out of yeah. town and
yeah.
come back during the Christmas time, I think. And Scott Campbell called me and said, Muddy will be going back out in the because he had a heart attack. See.
Oh, is that what happened? He had a yeah. heart attack? And then he had cancer too, right?
I'm not sure.
I thought he had cancer.
He probably did, yeah. you know, but I know he had a heart attack. He had a pace. They gave him a pacemaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he died in his sleep, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
those must have been some fun gigs, man.
Man, I had a lot of fun. We traveled. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
We went everywhere, Muddy, man.
Yeah.
All overseas, all up in Canada, all
yeah.
up in the East Coast, West Coast, everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, he was right. a busy man, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I saw you guys in 1980, I remember.
oh,
with
yeah.
that band. Yeah, yeah. I got some photos of you guys. Yeah.
When we first got with Muddy, we had another drummer called Willie Jesse Clay.
Okay.
He was the first drummer.
Right.
But
I think he might have played with Otis Rush too.
Yes, that's clear.
Yeah.
So when we got ready to go to I think it was Texas, that same show.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to go leave his wife.
Mm.
And so I went and got Ray Allison.
Right.
And got him I know.
How did Ray sound on the gig?
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
He come down.
He ended up playing guitar later on.
Yeah.
yeah.
He come down. You know, he was kind of wild.
Yeah, he was kind of wild.
He always was telling him,
no, it was.
Right. So did he get him more
oh, yeah,
under control?
Calm down,
oh, that's cool.
And,
yeah.
And when every now and then you see Muddy go look back at him.
Right, because Muddy was real particular about
yeah
who the how the drummer played.
Yeah,
you know?
And he thought.
And volume.
Yeah, he thought, yeah.
Very, very much about
down,
volume. Yeah.
And Muddy was so crazy about him, killing him, but that was he was the best one in the, one in the band.
Yeah.
That Muddy always clown around and talk to him. It was him.
Right.
Killer, yeah.
Right, right.
Try to steal his Muddy. To try to take his, not going to steal to look at us. We're going to sock. A killer kept his money in his sock. And Muddy would go, he's done. He go, oh, Muddy, what you doing, man? And when Muddy passed, Muddy, he got all of my head, got all the Muddy's clothes.
Wow.
He didn't fit them, yeah.
What a trip, man.
Yeah.
He ended up with Cotton later on.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Cotton, yeah, Cotton.
Yeah. And you played an album. You're on an album I was talking to you earlier.
Take
you're
Me
on,
Back.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was originally called My Foundation, and then they changed it to Take Me Back.
Yeah.
Same album, yeah.
Canada, I believe.
Right, yeah. Right. And it came out on Blind Pig later on as Take Me Back. Yeah, yeah.
Take Me Back.
Yeah, and you guys did, I already did, well, Take Me Back is the Walter tune.
Take Me Back, baby.
Yeah, and then you guys did Honest I Do on there. I think you did like two or three Walter
numbers.
Yeah.
That was the last good CD he did.
That was a great CD.
Because he wasn't supposed to sing for a while.
Right.
Because he had something.
Right.
And but he went on and did it anyway.
I know, man.
And because the doctor
wasn't supposed to smoke.
He was
either.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had got it, you know, whatever it was.
Right. They caught it, yeah.
And so they told him, wait, don't sing no more for a while.
And he went ahead.
He's hard hit and went on singing and lost his voice.
Yeah, and was smoking too.
Yes, and smoking and drinking at night.
Crazy.
We was in studio for from 6 to 6.
Wow.
Doing that CD, me, Samuel Lohan.
Right.
Pine Top.
Right.
Sam Lee on drums.
Oh, was it Sam on drums?
And Bob Anderson on bass.
Wow. That's a great record.
And me,
it's a great record.
Uh-huh.
I used to listen to that all the time.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did Cotton ever come sit in with Muddy?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was around, he would come. Yeah. We did Navy Pier, and all of them came up there, Cotton and Buddy Miles and Mighty Joe Young.
Wow.
Coco, they all came out on the stage and sing. And Johnny
did you Williams. Play much with Mighty Joe Young?
No.
Not really?
Never played in this band, no.
Yeah.
Never played in Mighty Joe Young. Yeah.
How about Dawkins? Did you play with Dawkins?
Yeah, I did a few
things
with Dawkins overseas, but we went to London and stuff. We toured around London with Michael Frank Wiggs. But he was a strange guy on stage.
Yeah, he was an oddball, yeah.
Is he? Yeah. See, he told me to tune his guitar. He get up there playing. He start yelling at me. I don't tell you to tune my guitar.
Right.
So one night he said, holler at me. But I said, man, look, I tune your guitar, but hey, don't be hollering at me, man.
Right.
So tune your own damn guitar.
Exactly.
Next time. I'm not tuning
yeah.
no more. And you know, every time he would give me, like we playing, he'd give me a solo, but he always standing a step in front of me.
Wow.
And he had Angela Brown was singing.
Right, right.
Yeah, she was singing with us, but he always stepped in front of me. Wouldn't let the people see me play.
That's terrible.
And so they wrote it up all over in the magazine about how he disrespected me.
Wow.
And they'll never have him back there.
Yeah,
so he never went back there, yeah. Had Ray Scott and on drum. Ray Scott was on drum. And the Mew, whatever you call it, on the bass. Sylvester Boyson on bass.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
All us with the other man. He's all right, man.
So you're with
I like the way he played.
Right. You were with Magic Slim for quite a while. What was it, 10 years or something?
13 years.
13 years, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. 13 years.
And you guys played all over the world.
All over the world, man. Everywhere. Yeah.
And Nick Holt was in there. His brother was in there.
Nate Applewhite.
Right.
With
right.
the drummer, yeah. And we went through a few drummers after Nate.
I wish I could have seen you guys, man. I missed seeing. I didn't meet Slim until way later.
Yeah, after Buddy and Junior, they kind of split it up a little bit.
Right.
So Magic Slim was top blues band then.
Yeah, right. I remember. No, I mean in the Midwest, he was a big deal in the Midwest. I remember you guys could come to the Zoo Bar.
Yeah.
In Lincoln, and you guys could do 2-3 weeks there by yourself.
By ourselves, man.
Yeah.
And all we be. Oh, we owe them up.
You guys were really the blues band at that neck of the woods, the whole Midwest.
Yeah,
scene.
Man.
Yeah.
It was top.
And I imagine you went overseas a lot.
Too. Oh, man. Every month for 3 or 4 weeks with Black and Blue, DJing them, yeah.
Right.
And we toured all over Europe everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I right now I do most all the same places I went with Magic Slim.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah. In France and in German, whatever. I just come back from Germany.
Good.
I just did two of me and my band.
That's great.
With a guy over there named Fred.
And, Fred Klee, is that the guy? Yeah, I've talked to Fred.
Last year and this year we went. Yeah.
Put in a word for me, tell that guy to hire me.
Oh, yeah. I will, man. Yeah. Rick Lee, yeah, he does a lot of band.
He seems like he does good for you.
And he's a good guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He do all the driving. And,
right.
But see, when I go over there with him, it'd be me and my wife. Mm-hmm. My wife, Lisa.
Lisa, yeah.
She goes with us. She didn't go with us last time because right. so much shit went down. On the first two we went, you know.
Yeah.
But Fred, he didn't quite get along with my drummer and my bass player because they so quiet and he thought they didn't like it. But my drummer would have been today. Yeah. He's real quiet, but he's a good little guy. Man.
You talk about Melvin?
Not Melvin. Oh, Melvin.
Oh, the drummer.
My drummer, yeah.
Drummer, yeah. What's his name?
Lenny. Lenny.
Okay.
And he's a good guy and he does. He don't let me do nothing. He take all my stuff and load it up and load the
nice.
Fan up and
yeah.
He does all this stuff for me. Him and Steve, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
They won't let me do nothing.
Hey, man, Steve's really good. I was really impressed yeah, with Steve. Yeah. I was really.
But if you ask him who taught him how to play, you know what he goes there.
What? Really? Did you teach him how to blow harp?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Man, what to do with it? If the Hard Time CD I got out of new.
Okay.
Out of one, I was telling him what to play.
He really sounds like his dad.
Yeah.
He sounds big time like Kerry. Yeah.
But he can play all type of music.
Yeah.
He
sounds good.
Blues, he can play soul music. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
That's awesome. John is really riding high these days with his band. He got nominated for a Grammy.
Yep.
And now you've been nominated before, right?
This will be my third time.
Right, because weren't you on the Living Chicago Blues?
Yep.
Right, and then was there, what was the other nomination?
My CD, All Original.
Okay, you're saying that was before this new one?
Yeah, the All Original, yeah, and then with Living Blues, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And this will now be the third one.
Yeah. Now, have you won a blues award before?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I won three. The BMA Awards?
Yeah, BMAs.
Yeah. And then about four or five of Blues Blast magazine. Two of them this year.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your mission as far as, like, you know, music? I mean, would you say you're out to promote Chicago blues or the old cats, or I mean, how would you say?
I try to promote all the old cats that go on. I try to traditional blues.
Uh-huh.
I try to promote rhythm and blues. I try to soul.
Yeah.
I promote all the rock and roll.
Yeah.
I don't do too much jazz, but I can.
Yeah.
When I think about it.
Right.
But I support all music, rock, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm trying to keep it.
Right.
Try to keep it close to the original that I can.
Right.
See, because the young generation.
And you write quite a bit. Right?
Yeah, all, yeah.
You write stuff, a lot of songs.
Yeah. I got Hard Time. I wrote all the songs on that. Except one. My daughter wrote one.
Okay.
Aaliyah, she
now, does your daughter sing?
Yeah.
Okay. Is she on some of your records?
She on the Hard Time CD.
Right.
Yeah, and then the women sing the blues on the Bob Cool tour. That new one he got out. He got out one called the latest. He won.
Now
the
who
one.
Is this?
Bob Cool tour.
Oh, Courtois. Okay.
With all the women singing on that.
Right. That's right. Is she on that?
On that. Okay. 17 and out of new.
Yeah.
On that one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And Hard Time.
You're on. You've done a lot with Bob as far as recordings, right? How many recordings you done?
At least five.
I know Wes Starr, the drummer.
Yeah,
he really enjoyed working with you.
I think the Gypsy Woman told me he won an award or two. I think he
did.
Won
it? Okay. Yeah. And he's really having fun playing with Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Stroger, man. Yeah.
Bob, me too.
Yeah, yeah. You man, told Bob. Me, he's, Wes said him and Bob just really hit it. Star, they hit it off immediately.
They
just
done,
locked.
Man.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The keyboard, DeRose? What's his name? Anthony?
Oh, Anthony Girasi.
Right. We all old.
Anthony's good. Great.
Man, yeah, he's great. He's really good. Best guy in the world.
Yeah, he's really like good. Yeah.
Play what he played.
Yeah, I went to Europe with him back in, 97 or
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
96, isn't
man,
he?
Man, he's great. He from the old town.
He really does. He knows all
he
the
knows
old
his stuff.
Yeah, sure
his
does.
You know it.
Sure does.
I love working with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like working with you too now.
Well, I like working with you, man. I've had a lot of respect for you.
You play that hard, man.
I've had a lot of respect for you for years.
You answer. You I call it a B.B. King guitar behind B.B. King. When somebody switches up, you right there.
Right, right.
I listen to you today.
I love backing people
up. I listen to you today.
I do. I love backing people up.
And that band, man, June Cole and Steve Fun and Tom Holland. And
Cross, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Great band.
That's a great band. Yeah.
Steve Fun told me how to hold the slide.
Right. Troy told me you guys go way back. Yeah.
He told me how to hold it. Hold this glass, Steve.
Right.
No. I'm just trying to play.
Does Steve even play slide?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, he
I've slide. Never heard Steve play
That's slide. That's why I was playing. And I was called
what a trip. I had no idea.
He can play slide, too.
I believe it.
Yeah, yeah. He can, man. He's yeah. good. He was a music teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve's been around, man.
Yeah, he's been
there. Yeah. Yeah. Now, how about Otis? Did you get to know Otis Rush at all?
No, I didn't get to know him. I met him, but I didn't.
Yeah, he's kind of, he keeps to himself.
I went on tour with him.
Did you really?
Black and Blue with DDA, yeah.
Oh, okay, and with DDA, yeah.
So he, we kept going with tour and stuff. And all of a sudden, something wrong with him.
Right.
And so.
Well, that's what I've always heard.
So DDA, probably was still drinking, you know, he's diabetic.
Right.
But DDA then took him to the doctor. And the doctor checked him out and said, ain't nothing wrong with him. I said, you kidding me? He said, no, ain't nothing wrong with him. Something wrong with his head.
Oh, so it's
the doctor said.
Mentally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the doctor said.
That's what I always heard.
But he was fine until he tried to drink. Cause
yeah, that's what I've heard. Now. I've heard he couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't drink at all.
No.
That's what I've heard. Man. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of some other cats, man. So did you work with Sam Lay for a while?
Yeah, we did some stuff, you know, because he planned on to take me back that CD.
That's right, yeah.
But I did some stuff at Teresa. Sometime he,
right.
We need a drummer, he come down there and play drums.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I worked with him, yeah.
He was a trip.
Good ass drummer, man.
He's a really good drummer. Man.
Mink Kudo.
Yeah, yeah. He's a character, though, man.
Yeah, but
all these guys are characters.
He kept their gun, too.
Man. I know he did. Yeah,
shot him in his bum.
He did, yeah, with cotton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard a story about that.
When
he was playing with Cotton, there was a guy that had shot Cotton.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that story?
I heard about that. Yeah.
Right. He got shot. Cotton got shot by this guy that was jealous of Muddy.
Yeah.
And the band.
Oh.
And he just came in and shot Cotton.
Ain't that so?
Yeah. Cotton barely lived. I mean, he got shot like five times.
Whoa.
And so I heard the story was Sam Lay was playing in the band with Cotton.
Yeah.
And they thought the guy had come in the club.
Right.
And shot him.
Yeah.
And that's when Sam went, boom.
Yeah. He shot his thumbs.
Oh, that's a bad way to learn.
I know, man. Bad way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, man, I want to say, man, it's great talking to you, and
you too,
and I love what you do, man.
Yo, man, and you're the same, man. We keep it going, man.
No, I'd love to do something else soon. Maybe we can do something next year. I'm gonna
hook me up.
I am.
I'm like Sam. Oh, hook me up.
I'm gonna work on something for next. Yeah, October.
Yeah, do that, man. Talk to me.
Yeah, because I would love to do something with you and. There was somebody else I had in mind. I can't think of who it was, but yeah.
Okay.
You ever heard Little Jimmy Reed?
Yeah.
He's pretty cool, man.
He lives in Alabama.
Yeah, he lives in Alabama. Well, I was thinking about bringing him out.
I think
out
I got
too.
His number. I'm going to have to call him because he always calls me.
He's a great guy, man.
Yeah, Little Jimmy Reed. Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a cool performer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun, man. Let's try to do something.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Hook us up.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much, John.
All right,
I appreciate you making time for me to do this.
Hey, man, no problem. It was a pleasure, man, talking to you. And I was good to see you, man.
It's always good to see you.